Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Lady Brierly, Diane, and of course the amazing Philip James Unger. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us an email about anything and remain totally anonymous. Nobody knows who you are. In exchange, we are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. If we think you need to be yelled at, we will yell at you, okay? But nobody knows who you are. Nobody would actually be this mean in person, but we're not in person, okay? This is just an anonymous world where you're throwing around your concepts and ideas and we react to them. I think in all of Christendom, to have one show that isn't overly obsessed with how you feel would probably do us a little bit of good. So on this show, we don't care how you feel. If we like what you say, we will celebrate it. If not, we will castigate you. Three versions of castigation on this show. One will stick your head in the toilet and flush it. And give you what we call a swirly. This water swirling on your head will awaken you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the go button. And if you blather on with too many unnecessary details, you get the chicken. You get all three, you're officially crazy. What do you got there, Chica?
Okay, this article caught my attention because you give the advice frequently that people need to get off the island and have friends and talk about their problems.
Yes.
And all of that. Well, this one says 9 surprising reasons you shouldn't talk about your marriage problems.
Why you should not talk about your problems to others, okay?
Okay, now it's a little bit different than what you are talking about because you say sit down, both of you, as a couple with another couple or something like that.
What are they talking about?
They're talking about kind of like going off on your own by yourself in talking about your problems to without having the couple thing. But I think that sometimes...
But even that's not bad either. It depends on how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, you start there if you're having problems and, you know, you have somebody walk you through it. I am absolutely convinced that things like marriage, life in general, was not intended to be done all by yourself, particularly something like marriage. You just get the two of you on an island, you will turn into cannibals and you will eat each other. And that's what happens in marriages all the time. Nobody knows our business. Nobody should know our business. You're crazy. You need to get people involved in your lives to help you do life together. That's really the purpose of the church, for those of you who are Christians. That's the church community, is helping you people do life together. We don't do this all on our own. So getting people involved in your life is a positive thing. So we have a story here about why you should not have people involved in your life, which is probably just going to make things worse, but what are they saying?
Because this article says whenever you talk to others about your marriage problems, you risk driving a wedge between you and your spouse. That's what they're saying.
I think they're wrong.
Okay, first of all, they say, number one, you never know who else will find out. Unless you're absolutely sure your friend won't blab, don't be surprised when the whole world suddenly seems privy to your latest spousal spat.
And here's the thing. When there's really bad behavior going on, somebody should know. People should know.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to know. Especially the really badly behaving spouse. Yeah. If I have a girlfriend on the side, I don't want anybody else to know that. Don't tell anybody else our problem. Don't tell anybody else. What does that allow me to do? It empowers me to keep doing bad things. If I'm looking at porn, if I'm lying, stealing, or cheating, don't tell anybody else. I don't want you to tell anybody else. Of course, I don't want you to tell anybody else because then my sin becomes known to all, and I don't want that. People want to keep things secretly. They think it's bad that other people will find out. I think it is good. I think when you have someone who's really behaving badly, you confront them, and if they don't stop, you tell everybody. Get a billboard. advertise to the neighbors. That's my personal opinion. You don't like it? Do what you want. Okay.
Number two, your spouse could feel betrayed.
I'm sure they do.
Just because you feel compelled to confide in a third party or all of Facebook, which is, don't do that, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty
doesn't
bad.
Mean your partner does, and you should respect that.
Yeah. All right.
Number three, you should turn a you could turn a minor blip into a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
One woman said that she complained to her sister-in-law about her husband's inability to show affection. She relayed that conversation to him, and he was horribly upset. She said it took ages to get over it.
Yeah. Again, I'm you know, I got problems with all of these. I don't like this idea that nobody should know our problems. I think it's bad. On the other hand, I can see the point. If you're talking about something piddly, like a statement, like, oh, he doesn't show enough affection. You're telling other people, what, you know, why are you talking to them about? Have you talked to me about it? You know, so it just depends. I'm talking about, first of all, you shouldn't try and do life by yourself. You should have friends that you can talk to, but you have a couple friends you talk to. And if there's really outrageous behavior, you do need to let other people in or it will spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. This is not outrageous behavior. This is just nitpicking.
Yeah.
If
you're talking about that,
I wouldn't like that either. So
number four, I think this one has some merit. A sympathetic ear isn't always objective. Your pal's concern is primarily for you and not for your marriage. They can give one-sided advice.
Well, that's why I encourage that you have friends, not your personal friends. We all have psycho crazy people that we call our friends because they're as crazy as we are. That's why they're our friends. I'm talking about other couples, getting together as couples and talking through some of your crazy with them. I think it's healthy. This side stuff, I would agree. I advise people not to talk to your individual friends about it. So, all right.
Number five, you may get bad advice.
Your
friends' experiences color their counsel. They give the example.
You know, one of the worst advice, these advice people give all the time in starting marriages from friends.
Mm-hmm.
Get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a divorce.
Yeah.
Just dump him.
Yep.
As if this is some kind of a cure.
Yeah.
It's
so you might not get
advice.
The best advice. And that I agree with that one. Number six, your friends may sound the alarm to others. Gung-ho loved ones may send out an email blast to too many people, enlisting them to come to your rescue. And before you know it, you have a full-fledged intervention in your living room.
But
sometimes you need
require
it.
A full-fledged intervention. Again, I'm talking outrageous behavior.
Yes.
Now, if you have a full-fledged intervention because you're not as emotionally connected as you should, now that's just nonsense.
Yes. That I agree with.
See, it all boils down to what are we talking about here? It's all shades of gray at this point.
Because what kind of information are you sharing with other people? Exactly. Number seven, you might change your mind about your spouse, but they won't. And this one I agree. When you say a lot of, I don't know, mean, bad, hurtful things about somebody, and then you kiss and make up, sometimes your friends remember, oh yeah, he did this, that, and the other. Sometimes that's
so they
hard.
Keep thinking bad about you. Yeah.
That one I agree with. Number eight, their comments could hinder your marriage from healing. So things that they tell you could interfere with actually overcoming the obstacles in the disagreement or the problem.
Especially if it's bad comments.
Yes, exactly.
I agree.
And the last one, you could become the girl who cried wolf. The next time you truly need guidance, your buddy might hesitate to chime in that you've gone to them with issues one too many times.
And that's possible. And there are people like that. They're always they're always in a crisis, always come blathering. I just don't like the idea of advocating why you shouldn't talk about your marriage problems. I think people who have marriage problems should talk to their friends and family about their problems. I really do. Mm-hmm. Not piddly, whiny, little stupid thing. I don't like he does, and he smells, and he's not emotionally connected. Now, that is a bunch of nonsense. And I do think it's a bad idea for you to talk to your personal friends rather than you as couples talking with other couples. So I see good and bad in both of this. I just don't like the idea. We need less advice of reasons why people should not talk about their problems.
Yes.
Because you have people with major problems and they never talk to anybody about it.
Yes.
There will be thousands of people today in America who will find out that somebody in their church is getting a divorce and they will go, oh my gosh, I didn't even know they had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's
because they never talked about
nonsense. Everybody hides their little problem, and then you try and come in, and nobody can help at that point because you've gotten to the point of divorce. There's a line that you can't cross anymore. If people would have been open enough with their problems early on, maybe you could try and fix it before the problem metastasized.
They need to remember that a friend's a friend forever. If the Lord's Lord of them.
Well, yeah. And if they're talking about nitpicky things.
Not say never.
If they're just whining. Sorry, I'm just going to go on, Phil. If they're talking about
just gonna
whiny,
rock some Michael W. Smith over here.
Whiny, nitpicky things, then you should be able to tell them, suck it up, knock it off. What's your problem? You don't always, like what we say on the show, you don't always get what you want and all of that. You should, like that little list I sent you the other day about how you should advise people.
What?
I sent you that little email of the list of sometimes you just want to tell people, knock it off. You can't always get what you want. Suck it up. Whining about it makes it worse. All of that. If you can give that kind of advice to people, but sometimes they need to hear that. Just stop your whining. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop whining.
Never mind. Never mind.
Stop your whining.
Never mind.
That's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. You can't find it.
All right. Oh, here it is.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop whining.
Sometimes that's the best advice you can give somebody.
You lack discipline.
That too.
I promise I will not kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so much for our opening salvo. We'll be back with your emails right after this break.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
And well, you can serve it up with mayonnaise or mustard, to be fair. Curl it up in a frying pan, but look out, only if you dare. Well, now please don't give me all that lip. Stop acting like you are so hip. You know you want it, yes you can. You want a bologna sandwich, man.
This is the show of lots of bologna.
Feed me some bologna.
You got that right.
The Mark Gunger Show. You can't possibly get more bologna anywhere in the world and on this show, listening to my thoughts. How already got there?
Okay, it's a woman writing. She says, my husband cheated after 6 years of marriage.
Okay.
It happened a week after I came home with our second daughter from the hospital. I noticed a change in him and the secret calls and the phone being on silent until one day I looked for the phone and found a chat between him and a girl from his work.
Mm-hmm.
I asked how long and he said it'd been 2 weeks only. I asked the girl, she said the same and they had only kissed, so they never had sex. This broke all the trust in our relationship and marriage. I find myself looking through his emails and phone all the time, and I found old emails and messages, but the problem is I can't get those conversations out of my head or the affair out of my head. He has apologized, feels bad. I believe he's sorry, and he has asked the girl to cut all communication with him. Is there a way of moving on or helping me to forget all of this? How do we move on and try to get back to where we were?
Well, you can't forget it. How are you going to forget it? You can't forget it, but you move on. It's painful, but you eventually heal, and it takes time to heal. It's like if we break Diane's arms. Let's do that for our lesson today. Let's
object
bust your arms.
That seems to happen a lot.
You use my arms for the object lesson. He thinks about hurting me and doing away with me quite frequently. Have you noticed that theme and pattern?
So we break Diane's arms in, let's say, four places. She can forgive us. I hope she does. But her arms are going to hurt until it heals.
Yeah.
So it takes time to heal. So, work through it best that you can. And don't be shocked that... but if you want it to... I don't ever want to remember it again. Well, that's tough to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, you do these things. You will get to a point where you will have to reflect back to try and remember it. But that just takes a lot of time. But
it's only been about 3 months.
Yeah, you're never, ever going to forget it. And if I busted your arm, it would take you more than 3 months for it to heal, much less this. So it is what it is. But it does bring up something else that I think is problematic. Have you noticed how many emails we get of this? That she says, while I was pregnant or during pregnancy, my husband cheated on me.
Yes.
Do you know why I think this is? Because we have a culture in all of Western culture and even in Christian culture where people never learn to say no to their sex drives. That's why I'm so opposed to guys masturbating and looking at porn and all this stuff and you guys having sex before you're married. Here's the problem, guys. If you can't learn to say no to your sex drive before you get married, you can't say no after you get married, particularly when you're in a situation where all of a sudden you're not having much sex. She's 8 months pregnant, stuff like that. It just... Things just ain't the same. Or after she's had the baby and you go for however many weeks without sex, it's amazing how many of these guys immediately fall off the wagon and get into an affair. I mean, it's stunning how often we read these. That's why you need to stop it. You people who are dating, you're messing around and you know you're having sex with each other, or having oral sex, or he's masturbating. Oh, I know, you know, God, you know, is forgiving us and we're going to get married real soon, so it won't matter. What you don't understand is all you're doing is you still have never said no to this. And then you're going to get married and your things all fixed. And the minute you get sick or he gets sick or you're pregnant or something happens where you can't be intimate as often or whatever, then he goes off the rails. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you have never, ever learned to say no to this. You do that before you're married. Stop it, you young people. Well, I want to have sex. What am I supposed to do? Well, you don't masturbate. You find a wife and you get married, but you learn first to say no to this. But this thing, these guys looking at porn and masturbating, doing all these different things, and Christians going, well, yeah, God understands, and blah, blah, blah. All you're doing is you're raising a whole generation of men, in particular, who never learn to say no to this. They have no control. And it's amazing. As soon as the wife is inaccessible, boom, they go off the rails. Really? Is this what you want? How about a little control? How about you guys learn to control yourselves? The time to do that is before you get married. That's why you shouldn't be having sex before you're married. Shouldn't be feeling each other up before you're married. You shouldn't be masturbating any of this other nonsense. Stop it. Learn to say no, because if you can't say no now, you'll never be able to say no later. There's no magic pill just because you get married that all of a sudden your desires go away. Now, the good news of marriage, you have each other, you can fulfill your desires, but then your marriage is all about that. And the minute they can't be accessible to each other, then you get this behavior. Mm-hmm. And we
it
get a lot of this.
Very
it happens.
Frequently.
I'm surprised how much we see it in these emails.
It's quite disturbing.
When
actually.
I was pregnant, he had an affair, and so on. I had an affair. And we had a cycle on the last show. You know, his mm-hmm. wife, you know, was 3 months pregnant, or however many pregnants with their third child,
yeah.
And then he starts having an affair with the other girl. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how often this happens. Why? Because mm-hmm. you have an animal, supposed to be a man, who has never learned to control this, and then as soon as she's not available. Then he goes running off. And then you girls are all crying and boo-hooing. You know, some of you married these guys knowing this going in. Some of you helped these guys do that. When you, I'm telling you, when you have sex with a man before he's married, you know what you're teaching him? It's okay to have sex when you're not married.
That's exactly what you're
Does that make any
now.
Sense?
Yeah.
Some of you girls who have problems with these unfaithful men, you know who taught them it's okay to have sex?
With someone
well,
they're not married to.
You did. It's my fault. No, it's both your fault. It's just that's why you single people stop this insane behavior. There is no reason for it. You want to have sex, control yourself, get married, and then you can have a great sex life. But even when you're married, you're going to have times where you're still going to have to control yourself. Dear Lord, this is a disaster. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
We're back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails that you actually sent on purpose, mm-hmm. knowing that we're going to yell at you.
Mm-hmm. Just assume they're all first-time listeners.
It must be.
Sometimes they are.
It's like, have you not listened to this show?
Not always. They don't always. They found you on YouTube, or someone told them something on your Facebook page,
but
and they thought you were great.
But they still must know that there's...
No, I think some people contact you pretty cold.
But we warn them.
Yeah, they get that warning.
Okay, you get the warning. We're going to be, and they still, yeah, we want you to answer it. Okay. Yeah. What you got next?
Okay, this is a woman writing. She says, my husband has requested that I begin masturbating when he is not around and then tell him about it so that way he does not have to watch porn. He just waits until I tell him that I've masturbated before he gets turned on. He doesn't do anything to turn me on except trying to wake me up in the morning, and most of the time I don't even wake up, she says.
Hey, you awake?
Uh-huh. I've started... No, he just touches her. He doesn't even ask her. Oh. He just starts him, apparently. She says, I've started lying and saying that I have masturbated when I actually am not and never have been into it. What should I even think anymore, she says. He tells her that the marriage bed is undefiled. I did ask. They're both, she said, born-again, spirit-filled Christians, been married 41 years.
Okay.
He's 61.
Here's the deal. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It is probably the most misquoted verse in the Bible. The marriage bed is undefiled, I think is what the King James Version says. But it's a really poor translation. Every other translation, and you look at the Amplified, and you look at it, they all say the marriage bed is to be kept undefiled. To take this phrase, the marriage bed is undefiled, and then to conclude, therefore, you can do anything, is absurd. He is wrong. He is nuts. He is crazy. And everybody who quotes that verse saying, well, you can do anything, marriage bed is undefiled, is an idiot. They don't know what they're talking about. You're supposed to keep it under. If the marriage bed is undefiled, you can do anything. You can invite your neighbors in. Marriage bed is undefiled. Bring a goat and a chicken and a frog with you. Marriage bed is undefiled. Good Lord. This is stupid. You can do porn and all this other weird stuff because the marriage bed is just a travesty and a misquoting and twisting of the scriptures. The marriage bed is to be kept undefiled, which means you should not be doing some of the sicko things y'all are doing. Good Lord. Here's a guy who's got a problem with porn.
Yeah.
So, well, he doesn't want to look at porn, so he wants me to do this, so he doesn't have to look at porn.
Yeah,
so it's still porn to him. Yeah.
You look at porn, so I don't have to.
Yeah.
You act out the porn, so I don't have to.
Yeah, you act out
the
porn.
I mean, he wants her to start doing some of the things from the porn site, so he's not watching it.
Yeah. How dumb are you, lady? I mean, you're a nice lady.
No, but
I mean, that's kind of dumb. It's like, so he doesn't look at other people doing it, so I got to act out. It's still porn. How does this not connect to people?
Yeah, she wants to know. She doesn't know what to do.
Stop it. Your husband needs to get some help. They're both committed Christians. Go talk to your pastor. Go tell your pastor. See, now here's the thing where people won't tell anybody else.
Oh, no, they don't want
to. They don't want us to know. He doesn't want your pastor, his pastor to know.
Oh, he does not.
That he likes to look at porn, so instead he's asking you to do porn instead and act out porn so he doesn't have to look at it. I mean, either way, he's getting the buzz off of some weird behaviors. You guys should go talk to your pastor. You took the time to write me. You ought to take the time to talk to him. That's what I think you ought to do. But it's you acting it out so he doesn't have to do it. How's that a win? Well, it's about me. He's still fantasizing. He's still thinking weird stuff in his head. I just think it's sad. Anyway.
This is icky.
She's a nice lady. I didn't mean to call her dumb. But she's not dumb, but it's a dumb. I just think it's a dumb thing. I don't think they're thinking it through. Well, I will. Well, I'll kill the neighbors so my husband doesn't have to kill them. He just likes looking at dead bodies. Well, it's still kind of weird, isn't it? I'll steal stuff so he doesn't have to steal stuff. Because then we get the stuff and then he's not stealing. Yeah, you think this is a fix? I will act out porn so he doesn't have to look at porn. How is this a win? This doesn't make any sense to me. So, anyway, you work it out. You really ought to talk. If you are, in fact, committed Christians, go talk to your committed Christian world. See if they can help you with these problems. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
This extraordinary love can be extremely complicated, but it's more than enough to sustain me, contain me.
You listen to the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationship, music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music at michaelo.org. Great, great music this guy's got. All right, what do you got?
Okay, this is a guy writing. He says, how can I stop myself from thinking that no girl would ever want to date me and stop having low self-confidence and poor self-image? He's 21 years old, and he says that he probably thinks this because he hears from girls, I like you, but I just want to be friends, and he has a fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. He says he has not dated anyone and has not asked a girl out on a date, but he is an online college student and mainly stays at home with his parents.
Well, there's your problem.
That's what he says.
No, seriously.
Oh, I know.
Dude, what's the word? Your social development is stunted.
Yeah.
If you're, how old is he?
21.
And still living with mom? Get out of the house. Go find some friends. Develop your social skills. You're still young. Good grief. Get a chance to meet some people. Talk to them. And interact with them. And start asking some girls out. Well, they might say no. So what? They'll say no. You're not going to die. And just then try someone else and try again. And didn't you say something about his church?
Yeah, I asked him if he, it's a Christian active in his church. He said he's not actively involved in a church because the last church we were involved in had slowly adopted legalism and they started to kick members out. So they're currently trying to start a church of their own.
Yeah, so here's your problem now. Now you're starting a church, which means it's going to be very, very small, which means he's going to and chances are there'll be only married people involved in this. Or the two or three single girls who doesn't want him in anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to learn how to interact with others when your world is so limited. You live at home with mom, and then your church world is just a startup church now, which is going to be extremely tiny. the best thing for you, number one, get out of the house, start living on your own, learn to interact with other people, go to a church. That is a good church. There's lots of great churches out there. It's highly unlikely that you have to start a church from scratch to get what you want. But people are so stubborn about what they want.
Expand your social circle.
Yeah, go, you know, I'll tell you what, in the meanwhile, while they're building the church, go visit some other churches, big churches with lots of girls and lots of people, and interact with them and get involved in their singles groups. There's all kinds of people that belong to one church but still do a singles group with another church. There's nothing wrong with that. But you just leaving your world around a startup church is going to have about 10 to 35 people in it. You're not going to meet anybody there, and you're not going to meet anybody staying with mom. Get out. Get on with it. Goodness gracious. Or you're going to be 35 and still this way, only worse. Every year that you go out, it's going to get worse for you. You need to get out of your comfort zone and get around some people. Learn and let them shoot you down in flames. Let the girls say no.
Is it very horrifying? Did you ask many girls out, Philip, and get shot down in flames?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, but it's just like, you know, it's like sales. If you want to get a sell, you got to be really comfortable with no's.
Because apparently that's quite traumatic to some guys that they just can't
handle. No guy likes it. Men have extremes.
They're scared. I know.
Everybody hates that.
Being shot down.
I had a friend. I mean, he was just sweating bullets just to say hi to this gal. Just and now, and they need to talk about it. What if this? What if that? And everyone's just like, just say hi. Oh, but I don't know. What if this? What if that?
You just got to do it, you know? Failure is failure. You learn from failure. Or you're going to be 40 years old and just a disaster, in which case I would advise all women to have nothing to do with you. You become one of these guys that are living at home with mom at 40. Who now you can only marry a very desperate woman who will get married and then write us because she can't stand you because you're so socially inept and you can't leave mama. You can't cut the umbilical cord. Get away from your mom. Get a life. Get into some church environments where you can meet lots of other girls. Even if you still want to start the other church, so be it. But there's midweek stuff, all kinds of stuff you can do with other big churches in your area and meet some people. You need to do this every year, every month at this point. That you delay this is going to get worse for you. And you're going to become, you're not now, but you are going to become undateable, unmarriable. You're going to be a disaster, a walking disaster. What's really bad is these guys do become absolute disasters. Mm-hmm. Then in their 40s, they will finally find some girl who is desperate. Now, she's in her 40s. She would rather marry a psycho than nobody. That's when these guys get married, and then these girls are miserable. And he's miserable. And he'll be, if you wait till 40 to get married, so mom, make sure you marry a girl who likes your mom, and then move in with mom. Because you're not going to be able to break the pattern at that point. This is the time to fix it. Get off your butt. Get out of there. All right. What else you got?
Okay. Next email is a woman writing. She says, Mark, I love your show. Thank you for what you do for people's marriages. I think mine is in big trouble. Right. My husband and I just had our first baby 4.5 months ago. I'm 23. He's 25. Been married 3.5 years. This past year, since I got pregnant, my husband has become a completely different person. He's not reading his Bible. He's put on about 50 pounds. He's incredibly irritable.
In 3 months? 50 pounds?
In the past, well, I guess. I don't know. in the course of the year.
Oh, 3 years.
No, and she said in the past year. And 50 pounds in the past year.
That dude should be on the biggest winner.
Yeah.
But still, past even in a year.
Yes.
He's 50 pounds in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's some serious chunk.
Yes.
He's just bulking up. putting on mass.
Sympathetic pregnancy pounds.
Good Lord. Okay, anyway, so he's one chunky monkey.
Out. He's incredibly...
It's the Chunky Monkey Show, all right?
Incredibly irritable, always has something to complain about no matter what's going on.
I bet he's irritable.
On.
He just put on 50 pounds. Mm-hmm.
She says she's tried to be as good to him as she can, leading by example as far as having a joyful attitude. Lately, he has started getting really mean in the way he speaks to me. I'm starting to feel not safe and obviously not as loved as I used to. He's not the Jesus-loving, fun guy I married, and I don't know how to help him. I've told him that I'm not going to keep doing this much longer. She doesn't mean the marriage. She just means putting up with all the stuff that he's doing. But honestly, I don't know where my baby and I would go. I've had serious discussions with him about kicking him out till he gets his stuff together. He cries and sobs and melts down and begs that he'll do anything that he can to make it work. I know this isn't healthy. It's not a good example for the baby. It isn't godly. How can I be a better example for my husband and son when he won't be one for our family? Is this behavior at all normal for new dads?
No, it's not normal. He's a little nuts. And also what's normal, not normal, is for you to tolerate this kind of behavior. And these women, they say they tolerate, they don't tolerate it, mm-hmm. but they tolerate it like crazy until they hit some magical line which makes no sense. Okay, so I was talking about a lady about this in church on Sunday. Okay. My husband calls me the B word, you know, rhymes with witch. Mm-hmm. Use your imagination, folks, all right? Calls me the B word. You stupid B! Mm-hmm. And he does this over and over and over again. I don't know what to do. Now, let me ask you a question. Your husband comes up to you and says, you're a stupid B. What do you do?
My first reaction, in all honesty, do you want to know my first reaction? Uh-huh. Just slap him across the face.
Okay.
I mean, that would be just a, excuse me?
I think my wife would probably do the same.
I
think she just haul off and slap me.
It would be so automatic, I think.
Yeah, you wouldn't even think twice about it.
No, it would just happen. I hate to admit that.
You know, Greg.
That's not very self-controlled on my part.
You know, Greg Stubbe, a good friend of ours. Mm-hmm. Special forces soldier. Mm-hmm. All right. Lean, mean, killing machine. Of course, he's retired now. He's not nearly as lean as he used to be. I love you, Greg! So anyway, he's dating his wife, okay? And while they're on their first date, he starts flirting with some other girl. And she wouldn't tolerate it. She looked at him and says, don't you ever do that to me again. And he said, oh, don't be such a bee. She did a turnaround flip karate kick and kicked him in the head and knocked him on the ground. Now, here is a guy we laugh about all the time because he's always talking, you know, this is how you take down a guy and this, mm-hmm. is how you defend this because, you know, they teach him this stuff. Mm-hmm. These guys, there is no more feared soldier in the world than an American Special Forces soldier. 13 Special Forces soldiers is the equivalent of like 5,000 of the other guys. I mean, these guys are to be feared. Mm-hmm. They are. So you're telling me that some chick karate kicked you and knocked you to the ground. He says, yeah, man, I wouldn't expect that.
Well, what was he thinking, flirting with another girl on a date and then calling her a bee? Are
so
you
he
kidding
says,
me?
Don't be a bee. She just flips.
Roundhouse kicked
she just
him.
Turns and just karate kicks him, knocks him to the ground. I said, what did you do? He says, I slowly got up and looked at her and said, will you marry me? That's what he did. And she married the guy. And they have a fabulous marriage to this day. But I'll bet you he'll never call her a bee again. Mm-hmm. You girls, you put up with this stuff over and over and over again. So let's say you slap him. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. And then later he says, you stupid bee. You slap. I mean, there's a price to pay immediately. It's immediate. Mm-hmm. The problem with people like this, girls like this, women like this, their response is not immediate. They put up with it and they put up with it for years and years. And then finally, I can't take it anymore. Then they go to separation. And what, didn't she kick him out or something like that at one point?
She said, I've been serious about, they've talked about kicking out. And then he cries and sobs
and
begs anything he can do to make it better, but doesn't. Do it.
Okay. We're going to come back. We got to take a break. We'll come back. And I want to show you what happens when she confronts him. We'll be back right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Well, there's something different about today. I don't know, but it just feels that way. Maybe it's just my attitude. What is this day? In my head, I know it's clear. Don't wait if it's just a dream. Just leave me here alone to scheme. It feels like Friday, like I just got paid. It feels like
Music with the Music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You're on the Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Okay, we got this lady. My husband's being terrible and saying these horrible things to me. What should I do? Here is the problem with you girls that do that. You don't respond quickly enough. You put up with horrible behavior and you tolerate it time after time after time after time after time after time. And finally he said, well, what can I do? And I confront him and he cries. And I said, yeah, he should cry. She threatens to leave and then he falls apart. But then she doesn't apply this. Here's what you do. This is how you actually do it, ladies, okay? This is how it works. We have ignorant man married to fuzzy chick, okay? As soon as he says to her, you stupid bee, she slaps him, or she kicks him. You warn him. You say, don't you ever, ever say that to me again. Do you understand? I understand you get frustrated, but don't you ever, if you ever say that to me again, we're going to have some serious problems. That's what you tell him. You lay down the law. Then he comes back and does it again. You stupid bee! Then what happens? You don't make a big deal. You don't say anything. You wait till he goes to work the next day, and when he comes home, you're gone. Where do I go? It doesn't matter. Go to a spa, get a massage, put it on his credit card. I'm telling you. See, everybody waits for these big productions and they're going to file for separation. No, no, no. You do these short-term separations. It's a matter of hours. He comes home. Where is she? Where is she? I don't know where she is. Quick, I got a call. Yeah, I need my cell phone. He's got a really big cell phone. And he calls. Hello, help, where are you? And I told you. If you call me a bee, we're going to have some problems. I'm not there. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't leave. And 99.9% of the time, these guys all cave. Mm-hmm. What does she say? He cries. Yep. He begs. I promise you, girls, these guys will do anything. They say, I'm promised. Oh, you got to come home. I promise. I'll never. Don't you ever do that to me again. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Yes. Then you come home. How long have you been gone? 2 hours. It's nothing, you silly girls. It's nothing. You're so afraid of something that's nothing. You just lay down the law. You come home. He, you know, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, somewhere along the line, he's going to do it again. You stupid bee! And you just look at him. And usually at this point, now he's, okay, I'm sorry. But if he doesn't, when he comes home the next day, where is he? Listen to me, girls. At some point, even a dog can be trained. Even a dog, a moose can be trained. A whale. Have you ever been to, what do you call these things?
SeaWorld.
SeaWorld. What do you call those things? You can, they snap their fingers and this gigantic whale will do a flip on command because you taught it what to do. Even a stupid, dumb, moronic animal can be trained. And I promise you, you girls listen to me, that have this problem. The women who are listening to the show right now, they're shaking their head thinking of you, they just think you're crazy because they would never tolerate it. My wife would never tolerate it. She would never tolerate it. She would never tolerate it. Women who have good marriages never, ever, ever tolerate what you girls put up with year after year after year. And then you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And when I threatened to leave and he started crying, of course, she didn't leave. But what happens? He keeps doing this stuff and she just tolerates it. You never teach him. You do not ever do that to me. Do you understand? It's just that clear. And sadly, these girls are clueless. They'll never get it. She'll never get it. This woman, listen, she'll get it. She's clueless. God bless you. Go talk to your pastor or something. They all sit there and they'll hold hands and sing Kumbaya and everybody will cry for you and talk about what a bad man he is. And then you wind up in divorce and everybody boo-hoo and then you marry some other psycho and then you'll be more miserable than you were with the first psycho and this is going to be the rest of your life. That's what this lady's going to do.
Oh, that's a really prognosticating gloom and doom.
That's what they do. Is that not what they do?
Sadly, yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what they do. I don't know, maybe by some small glimmer of hope, this woman will get a clue and stop it. And you girls, listen to me. You women, you do not tolerate this stuff. Well, we're supposed to respect our husbands. Sure, under normal conditions, you respect, you submit, all this kind of, but when someone does something outrageous, they curse at you, they slap you, they come home with girlfriends, I mean, whatever, you do not tolerate it and you nail it immediately the first time it happens. You warn, don't you ever do it again, or we're going to have a problem. The second time they do it, and they will do it, they come home, you're not there. They freak. They all freak. They always freak. Even guys after who've been doing this for 10 years, when she finally leaves, you know what these guys do whenever these women leave?
Freak out.
They all freak. They cry. Some of you girls, you know, you've been through this. You left your husband, and he cried and stuff. But you know what they say at this point? Too late. I don't care anymore. They wait till they don't care. How about you girls confront them while you still do care, and you can save your marriage? But you do it immediately. I promise you, I learned early on, there's some things I don't say to the redhead I'm married to. There's some things I don't do to the redhead I'm married in. And some of it's, I don't really think it's that big a deal. But she does. Mm-hmm. I don't do it. It became very clear early on, she doesn't have these problems. You girls, you let them curse at you. You let them disrespect you. They text women. They look at porn. They do all this stuff. And you all say, oh, she does this. I don't know what to do. What can I say to make him stop, Pastor? What can I say to make him? There's nothing you can say. Men, don't listen to the words. They respond to consequences. Women who have great marriages, let me say it slowly for some of you.
Careful.
For some of them, not, they can't hear. Careful. When you're yelling. Okay. Slowly. Okay. The women who have great marriages never tolerate what you tolerate. Do you understand? These men do this to you because they can, and you let them. Now, assuming some of you can get a clue, the minute your husband curses at you or something that you think is offensive, you look at him and you warn him, don't you ever. I don't care if he's been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
You say to him, listen, I've been tolerating for this 10 years. I want you to understand, I'm not going to do this anymore.
It's the next time.
You do this to me next time, we're going to have a problem. Don't threaten anything. Don't tell him what you're going to do. Just, rah, rah, rah. He's not going to believe it because he will do it again.
See, when she had him crying, she had him on the ropes. And then the next time he misbehaved,
she didn't do
anything. That's when she should have said, I know you cried. That's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm gone for whatever. I told you.
Yeah. And then he really creaks and cries. And then you come home, you know, make it a day. Go to friends. Go visit your mom.
Yeah.
Go to a nice hotel. Put it on his credit card. When you come back, okay. He begs, he cries. And you just know immediately. The next time he does it, immediately when he does it, same response. Mm-hmm. And he'll stop. He'll stop. You girls don't need to have these problems. You have these problems because you allow them over and over. You are enablers. The only thing these guys need to act badly is you kind of women who tolerate their bad behavior. Because the rest of us guys who are married to women who don't tolerate, we don't do this stuff. We don't do it because they won't tolerate it. I don't know what else to say. It's like talking to the brick wall. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com. And Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Doctor, doctor, can I have a talk with you?
We're back. The doctor is in the house. Crank it up.
Can I have a talk with you?
We'll have a talk with you. We are the doctors.
I need a great physician.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, and no, we're not doctors.
Yeah, people think you are. They refer to you as Dr. Gunger.
Dr. Gunger.
That was your father,
I've
right?
had people introduce me as doctor. Because Gunger. Almost everybody who does this stuff has a PhD.
And they assume.
Although, you got to understand, a lot of preachers have PhDs. You know, it's really bogus. They get these PhDs from these little make-believe organizations.
Make-believe.
You know, they save enough cereal box tops, and they mail it in. And they get a PhD. I think it's just a bunch of nonsense.
And they
so desperate are they for these titles. I don't care 2 cents about these
letters.
Stupid titles. Who cares? Good grief. All right. What do you got?
Okay.
We have much time.
This one, so let's see if we can squeeze it in. This is a guy writing. He says he became aware of you when he saw you on TV in Kenya. You are now
Kenya!
You're his mentor, his teacher, and his counselor now, apparently.
I love Kenya.
I have one issue. I tend to have a low tolerance level for different attitudes, opinions, and views and tastes for issues in manner and protocol.
Okay.
I'm 26. It's time to marry. However, it's not easy to get a mate. He's worried. Could he be over-expecting? He says, my friends describe me as a perfectionist. Help me to understand this. He says he's an active Catholic member. Uh-huh. I asked him if he's dated.
Good for you.
He said that his past relationships don't last more than a year. He's very conservative by his description and only befriends those who subscribe to similar values and principles.
Okay, on the one hand, you do want to find a girl that has your principles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the other hand, if you can't find any woman anywhere in Kenya, your standards are probably a little bit too high. Mm-hmm. I've been to Kenya. Kenya has some of the most beautiful women in the world. If I was a single man in Kenya, I'd be single for about 4 weeks. Because I'd want one of those girls. They're gorgeous everywhere. I don't know what your problem. Here's the thing with perfection. Perfection is a good thing, but it can do two things. your standards either can raise you to a higher level or your perfection can push you down. And you have those two extremes with perfectionists. There are people that their perfection keeps them from enjoying life and it sucks the life out of them. Don't do that. Let your perfection raise you up. And the good news is you're only 26. You're still a young guy, 26, 20, or whatever. But I like the idea that you're getting on. It's time to get married. Look around. Surely there's some girl. If they, all of them can meet some perfection in your head, then you probably should just stay single. Or you need to relax a little bit and don't let your perfection hinder your life. Rather, it should encourage your life. All right? We'll see you.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.